Now you fraught that with your logic. You have no business behind there. Then she said, I tried to make it logical, she said, of that period. When you're a science major, everything is why. And every time I asked why, I could come up with a logical explanation, but then I'd right away come up with another why. Finally, I realized that I just needed to take a leap of faith. Lord, have mercy. That is not the way you handle the Holy Scriptures. You have to understand the Scriptures exegetically and expositorily. You don't take a leap of faith. All right, if Jesus walked on water, Miss Coleman, how did he do that? Well, that's illogical. How did he do it? Oh, my goodness. Then she goes on and says, I know it sounds trite, but it's just a leap of faith. I just said, Lord, I don't know that I can understand this. I can't explain it all, but I'm choosing to believe in you. The minute I did that, everything fell in place. Now, you know what? This woman is crazy.
Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
And I would hope that, go ahead.
For by it the men of old gained approval.
Did it say the women of old?
For by it the men of old gained approval.
Now that is now in that category of faith, you have Sarah and you have the Jerichoite woman there that was by the mountainside that had faith. But these people did not use faith the way she's using it as a leap
right.
of faith. That's why she's telling stories and not using the Bible, because she is not adequate to exegete the text in a proper way. Now, then she says, I've always had a very close relationship with Jesus Christ since I was a little girl. Let me say this. I did not have that since I was a little boy. I'm going to tell you. Coleman says that faith is has deepened over the years. And in the last year or so, I can't even describe to you how amazing it's been. She said nothing in that statement. I'm supposed to believe her because she said that? That is totally ridiculous. So that's how she qualifies herself to be able to be a preacher. I can be a preacher up here because I said this. I can get up behind a lectern and say, you don't know how much God has taught me in the last 6 months, and I haven't even opened up my Bible in 2 years. And you're going to believe it? The article goes on and says, the church leaders need faith these days. TV ratings are down 50%. I'm glad. People out trying to get a job, they ain't home looking at that fool on television. And he says, from their heyday, and the church is selling properties to pay a $50 million debt. Wonderful. Selling the properties that they didn't have no... Listen, the church worth $50 million in debt? The church? What they doing with all them buildings and property?
They got to clean up after the Glory of Christmas event.
Oh, Lord.
They got to buy stuff and keep that camel happy. And
Donkey poo. I hear you.
They got to clean up after the donkeys and the camels.
Coleman chuckles at the notion that the cathedral's time has passed. Well, she may chuckle, but I want to...
Somebody got to clean that crystal at the top of the building.
Hey. Oh, my goodness. I'm over the hour. Let me continue with this. He chuckles at the cathedral's time has past. She says faith is believing in something even though you can't see it, even though it goes against reason. She says, that's my faith, and I do believe that we have our best days yet to come. Now, she's talking about bringing in a bunch of sinners that don't know Christ, trying to raise money to pay a $50 million debt, and she's equating that to biblical Christianity. That doesn't have a thing to do about salvation in Christ. And they definitely can't be preaching against sin in that church and calling people sinners, because they clear the sinners out that she's trying to bring in. since she's talking logic, wouldn't that be logical? If you have a Christian church, would it be logical for you to bring in a sinner and preach to him about sin? No, he wouldn't come. Right. And what happened to your managing and organizing plan to get money out of the pocket of sinners? Now, she's doing a great disharm to the sinner because she's continuously leading them to hell and to try to get the money to pay off millions of dollars of debt for her white-haired daddy and her arguing big brother. This is the organized church. Well, let me continue to read this astonishing article. It may have been the fate as many as family dynamics as, yeah, as much as family dynamics that lined up against the younger Schuller, says the head of the Association of Religious Researchers. As with any organization that relies on donations, the economic downturn has made the cathedral vulnerable, says William Swatos, Jr., executive officer of the Religious Research Association and editor of Encyclopedia on Religion and Society. Yeah, he's saying, look, when you spend all your time trying to get funds for the building, and that's where most of these preachers are today.
Right.
They're trying to pay off that monstrosity that they built when all that money was flowing like that. So then he says, passing the torch in these situations is often difficult, Swatos says, because when you look at these movements, religious amongst them, in other words, any kind of movement,
right,
when you go into economic crisis, there isn't necessarily an inheritance factor that operates strongly. In many cases, the footsteps may be harder to follow than when you are the son, than when you are an outsider, because people are expecting almost a duplication. If you brought in someone everyone knows isn't the son, you begin with a kind of clean slate, quote unquote. Here again, this isn't talking about Christianity. This is talking about religion, and this is talking about organizational development. That's what's happened to the church. The church has become a big business. This is not a Christian church. Coleman agrees, saying that her brother may have been in a no-win situation. And then she says, while the family tries to heal, the Crystal Cathedral must ramp up its efforts. Coleman says the plan is to hire an evangelist to lure non-churchgoers and to improve marketing on the Hour of Power. An evangelist to bring sinners in. Oh, my God. Then she says, in that way, that's both simple and far-reaching. The Crystal Cathedral is going back to basics. Yeah, basic what? Management 101, that's what it is. I believe in a big God. Listen to this. I believe in a big God who's not done with this ministry and not done with my father, Coleman says. Dad is still the amazing, Dad still has amazing dreams and visions. Well, see, that's the problem. God told us not to do that. But her dad is doing it. He is still the visionary of this church, and he will be as long as he draws breath. Okay. That's the article. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, I just want to share with you, that's why we do the webcast the way we do it, because we want you to know what is going on out there. It is sick out there in the world of church. It is sick. It is sick. This was a sick article. Schuller's a sick old man. His daughter's sick. The church, no, they are not Christians. And I know you think that that's, you can't, I just said it. I'm not going to play any games with you. Those are not Christians. Those are not the statements of Christians. I would have said, this place is huge. If we can't pay, as a matter of fact, you want to know how that sounds when the people won't give their money? Play the clip on my website called The Bold Preacher. That's my response to her article in the Crystal Cathedral. I said, if you people do not keep your vow to God, And I want you guys to listen to me that's listening to this webcast. If you people do not keep your vow to God, we're going to lose this building. I'll probably end up teaching somewhere in a college. I am. I'll probably be teaching Bible in my garage classroom. I am. And the facility was lost, and I was happy about it. And I told him about it. That's the way you do ministry. You don't do ministry the way that Schuller's trying to do it, but he's no Christian. And it's a shame that a lot of you are going to break your neck to watch this clown on Sunday mornings and watch his daughter and try to pick up the lessons that Mama Grace is giving you. She ironically picked the verse that describes her. Go on a Google search and go under, as a matter of fact, I'm going to do it right now since I got an open laptop here, computer, and I'm going to do this right now, D-A-D-D-Y-G-R-A-C-E. I went under Daddy Grace, Bishop Charles, let me see, Encyclopedia of Religion. She calls herself Mama Grace, right? And all you got to do is just a quick Google search, and this thing will pop up. Listen to this. I knew I was right. Daddy Grace, Charles M. Daddy, born 1881, died 1960. Grace was the founder of the United House of Prayer of all people of the Church on the Rock of the Apostolic Faith, a combination of Daddy Grace's grandiosity, his followers' intense devotion, and popular confusion between Grace and the controversial Father Divine caused outsiders to be skeptical of the church for decades. Daddy Grace and Father Divine would chew on an apple, Mark, spit the apple out on the floor in front of them, right, and the women of the church would run up to eat the apples.
Oh, my God.
They were eating divine fruit. That's how crazy these nitwits were.
That's crazy.
Oh, and I must say, they were black, unfortunately. But then it says, after Grace's death, a new leadership made superficial changes that allowed the United House of Prayer to move away from its marginal status to closer to the American religious mainstream. Early in the 21st century, its long-term stability invites an appreciation for the strength of the institutional foundations designed and laid by Grace. And then it gives all of that. You can read about that. Came from the north west coast of Africa, and talks about them immigrating from Massachusetts. And where the church that I pastor was located, we were right next door to these cult people. One lady came out one day and said that she was pregnant with, like Mary was. And, you know, just crazy stuff. But now you got Mama Grace in the Crystal Cathedral. So, you know, what else is new? All right, we've gone. It's about an hour and 11 minutes into the webcast, almost an hour and 12 minutes. I'm so glad that you can join me. And Mark, I want to again thank you for the letters. And I want you to know that these kinds of, as we close out this presentation tonight, these kinds of movements where people do this in the church and the church is sitting silent and not saying anything, it's just as disastrous. And I'm going to use this as an example, so you can see where my webcast will be leading you to on tomorrow. Just as disastrous as a man that drugs young children and put them on planes and so that they can have sex with them. And this has been documented by certain individuals that the man did that, and the man thinking about making money, living his life, and the man dies suddenly. Now, there's only one thing that you have to do, and you have to come up with this. How would God judge this man? Are you going to look at how famous the man was and what he did and his art? He had a beautiful voice. He had some dance moves that nobody humanly could have done but his hero, James Brown. All of that is well and good, but are you going to overlook what he was? And are you going to say that he is dancing in heaven now? What? If you're a Christian, you can't. If you're a Christian, you have to deny that kind of disposition. And I've already met some so-called Christians that said that they were crying when they heard that this man died. Oh, for shame. Oh, for shame. You have no business crying over a sinner's death. And I have the question on my website. You can go to it. You don't have to. Some of you may be frightened. Here's the question. I said, people die every day. Some go to heaven. Some go to hell. Here's my question, and then I'll leave it at that. What do you best remember Michael Jackson for? Dead at 50. This is Pastor John, Mark Ramsey in the Lucy Coleman studio, asking you to do one thing, to stay into the word. God bless you. Good night, folks.